ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is Alyssa Gelbard, founder and president of Point Road Group, a global career consulting and personal branding firm. While an entrepreneur today, Alyssa has spent many years at large organizations on the other side of the desk in leadership roles. Alyssa is also a notable source to leading media outlets on careers and personal branding. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here, Gabriella.
So first, let's talk about your own story and background and how you founded your business, Point Road Group, as a jumping off point to talk about the meat of what you do.
Sure, sure. So my background is strategic marketing and branding. I got my MBA in marketing and pursued my dream of working in sports marketing. And then I worked with the National Hockey League and then went on the corporate sponsor side. And an opportunity arose during the original dot-com boom to be part of a British technology consulting firm that was expanding into the U.S. So I was part of that and helped significantly grow their presence and hired and managed teams and was very involved in marketing and branding. And then, you know, because it was that original dot-com boom, we all know what happened then. And of course, the company doesn't exist. And then I shifted to something a little bit more stable and went into the research world and nonprofits. But what happened was throughout all of these roles I had, and again, I was always involved in marketing and branding, I was always hiring and building and leading teams. And I kind of became an unofficial career advisor. So both to the companies that I was a part of, because people would always ask me for hiring advice. And then on the people side, you know, and in my network, people were always asking me, oh, you're always hiring people. Could you look at my resume? I need some career advice. I'm not sure what to do. And I'm a connector, so I'd always say, oh, you're interested in doing X? Well, let me introduce you to so-and-so. And basically, I was laying the groundwork for my company, and I totally didn't realize it. I just loved what I was doing. It was fun, you know, and it was just something I kind of just did on the side. And it was really satisfying to help people. And so what happened was, as kind of people, I had this sort of unofficial reputation of this career advisor. So people started asking me for help that I didn't know directly. So I decided to start my business on the side, and you know, I'm a total accidental entrepreneur. It was never my career goal to run my own business. But what happened was my intention was to help people in marketing. I used to call them my people, because I noticed that in all the times when I was hiring people and advising people as well, people in marketing weren't marketing themselves well, which was kind of funny. And I always felt like, oh, well, during that whole job search, you know, process and interviewing process, you're kind of showing a work sample on how you market yourself. So I really wanted to help that kind of population. But I launched the business and then it included everyone. So it was, you know, people in technology and media and sports and entertainment and advertising and marketing. It started off in all the, you know, areas where I had been involved, but then it grew to everything else. So then cut to where we are today, and Point Road Group is a global career consulting and personal branding firm. The foundation of the business is based on my personal background, and that's how we approach working with our clients. And we help people market themselves to stay current and relevant and attractive for both business and job opportunities. So whether someone's pursuing, you know, a job change, promotion, board seat, or maybe they're launching or growing a side hustle, as they call it, no longer side gig or side business. And then we also work with people who are happy in what they're doing and just want to strengthen their personal brand to drive their success. And we also partner with organizations to deliver customized programs relating to personal branding, of course, and LinkedIn and career advancement.
So why is it important for people who are not job hunting to do this? Why should they be working on their brand? I mean, they've got a very busy day job. Why should they be doing this?
So it's a great question. And it's something that absolutely we always say personal branding is important for everybody, no matter how happy and successful you are. These days, you know, as you know, change is kind of the new normal. So, you know, some industries are in a constant state of change, you know, technology, media, and change can reflect really good things like innovation and growth. but it can also reflect not so fabulous things sometimes, you know, like consolidation and uncertainty, you know, think like advertising, publishing. So job security isn't a given anymore, no matter how successful you are, how many, you know, billions of dollars you even brought to a company or helped build something from, you know, a handful of people to thousands of people globally. It doesn't matter. There's no guarantees anymore. And these days, even if you're told that you're safe, it's temporary at best. So you need to proactively, not reactively, think about your personal brand and be able to adjust and transform and remain relevant, you know, as everything evolves around you. But you also need to differentiate as well. Just kind of laying low, putting your head down, doing your job isn't good enough anymore. So when you think about just your brand in general, you want to be communicating things that are most relevant to where you are today, but also where you want to be going. So you shouldn't have, people shouldn't get an outdated picture of who you are when it comes to your brand, or get different pictures of who you are when you come to your brand. So your personal brand, you know, taking a step back, I guess, for a second, covers so many things. It's who you are in person. It's who you are online. So it's who you are in your kind of everyday day job, whether you're, you know, at meetings, at conferences, events, meeting with clients. It's also who you are on LinkedIn. It's who you are in content you produce. It's how you dress. It's your communications, you know, email, phone. It's all of those different things. So thinking about the message that you're putting out there is really important. So what you don't want to do, and this is unfortunately, so we see this all the time with clients that we work with, is I never really thought about my brand. I was doing well in my job. I just kind of was doing my thing. My network were the people I was just kind of dealing with on a regular kind of daily basis. And all of a sudden, maybe there's some uncertainty in their professional life, and now they have to start thinking about it. So they're being reactive versus proactive. So it's important to really focus on it now.
Well, interesting. You mentioned people saying, well, I have my network. And I guess, how often do you find the people who you're teaming with are feeding and caring for their network? Are people doing that?
Because not enough at all.
Right. I mean, because I would say that, you know, it's not only are you branding yourself, but you need to be constantly watering and feeding that network, correct?
Oh, absolutely. That's probably the other thing that we hear the most is that, oh, I just wish I knew I should do it, but I just kind of stopped. And there's always like a time that someone can point to where they stopped because they got busy. But you always want to have your network so it's there when you need it, you know, and it's something that should always be cultivated because you are changing and growing professionally. And you also don't want to have your network be one set of people in maybe a narrow industry or a job function or geography. It should be broad. You want to know people, you know, you want to have a diversity within your network. And it's really, really important because it's not just there for if you're looking for a job. It helps with business opportunities. If you're hiring, if you're looking to partner, if you're looking for resources, there's so many ways in which your network can be beneficial. So unfortunately, a lot of people think of their network only in the context of a job search, but it's so much more than that. Look, you and I met networking.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I certainly believe that networks are really important, and it's the strength of those weaker ties that often give you those opportunities that you don't know about because it's precisely because they aren't your closest friends that they surface new opportunities. One of the things I find is a lot of people will network, but immediately ask for something. What do you think, what is effective networking in your view? What do you advise people?
So building the relationship first. I think that going in right for an ask before you even know somebody can be, like you said, a little off-putting. It feels awkward. You don't know this person well enough because maybe they're asking, you know, very often people are asking for something, you for something where they're putting their professional reputation and personal brand on the line, perhaps by recommending that person to somebody else. So it's a lot more comfortable when you get to know somebody a little bit. Now, the degree in which you can get to know them varies on the person and how you meet, et cetera. But I definitely think you should get to know someone first before you just go right in for an ask.
Right. Are there certain, and I know I want to talk about branding, but I sort of got this dog leg into networking. And while we're still in this thread, I want to stay here. Do you have certain when you're working with clients and you're saying, you know, you need to care and feed for your network, do you make recommendations to people like you want to be helpful and reach out and connect in X number of ways before you have an ask? Or is it less prescriptive than that?
It's definitely less prescriptive because it also depends on how you meet the person. So, you know, one of the things that we always say is networking is, you know, you can't rely on just doing it online. That is a part of it, but you have to be out there in person as well. That's a really important part. You don't want to just hide behind the screen. So if you meet somebody networking and, you know, it depends on the nature of your conversation and how much time you've spent, then perhaps you can go in a lot faster for an ask because maybe you've already spent, you know, considerable time talking to them and getting to know them, which is different than if you just quote unquote meet online. So it's definitely, you know, and it varies, but you also need to like with your brand, you want to have variety in how you're presented. Well, with networking, you want to have variety as well, not just within the pieces, but also how you network and where you go. You know, when you think about even when you're networking in person, you shouldn't just go one place where you meet just one kind of person. So that doesn't mean you have to be out there all the time. But networking is going to events. It's also building relationships with people you meet. So setting up, you know, it's that follow-up too. So it's not just meeting somebody and then kind of one and done. And whether that's online or in person, you want to cultivate that relationship. Sometimes it's really just meeting someone and maybe you don't cultivate that relationship until another time in the future. With other people, it's after you meet, let's set up that time for coffee or that phone call or that lunch, you know, or maybe you're inviting them to join you at another event, or, you know, so you want to continue then cultivate the relationship, because otherwise it's just somebody that you know. You know, a colleague of mine said, you don't want to be a baseball card collector. You don't want to just meet people just to meet people or just connect with people on LinkedIn just to, you know, increase those number of connections. You want to have some kind of reason behind it and hopefully get to know them. If you connect with someone who you don't really care to get to know, then they shouldn't be in your network in the first place.
Very good point. I love the baseball card metaphor. That's really quite compelling, I think, and helps you think about it for sure. So now moving on to branding oneself, and a word that's often tossed out is being a thought leader. It seems almost cliche. Can anybody be a thought leader? Really?
No. The simple answer, no. You know, a lot of times people, you know, to be considered a thought leader, you actually have to have actual experience or expertise in that area that where you're saying that you specialize in. You can't just say it. And you also need to do actionable things. You have to have that background, but you have to act and engage. And there's a lot of things that you need to do to be considered a thought leader, but it can't just be in your own mind. You can't just say, oh, well, you know what? I'm a thought leader and that's how I'm going to brand myself. Because if you don't have...
I have thoughts.
Right? <Sorry. laughs> And I'm a leader. I can lead things. So, but if you don't have the chops for it, then it doesn't really mean anything. So, you know, it's certainly though, if you can become one, it's great. And I guess taking a step back for a second, being a thought leader takes time. It takes effort, you know, of course you want to differentiate yourself as a thought leader, but it actually takes time and effort. And you can't just say, oh, well, I'm a thought leader now because, you know, I've done a couple of things and that's it. It takes time to build that reputation. And one of the key parts of being a thought leader is have others think that you are, you know, what you say is you're an influencer and that you are saying something important and distinctive and unique. And people look to you for your expertise. So other people kind of need to validate that for you to be thought of as a thought leader.
Right, right. A question for you. One of the things I'm curious about is branding oneself as separate and distinct from the company. A lot of times people who have been at firms for a long time have achieved very significant titles and are very influential. If they find themselves being inadvertent job changers, if you will, where all of a sudden they're released onto the marketplace because of consolidation, because of change, they may or may not command that return phone call. When they had the business role at a certain company, they always got that call back. But as just themselves, sometimes they don't command that call back. Now, what is it that a person can do to create a distinct role that is almost like a Russian doll nested within the corporate role. How does that work?
So I think I'm going to answer the question in a couple of different ways. So one is, you know, it's very common for people to be synonymous with their corporate role, especially when they've been with the same organization for a long time. So building your identity, your personal identity as separate from the company identity is important. And that's where that notion of thought leader and expert in a particular area, not just as associated with that company, can be important. So of course, you know, if you build a really good reputation and brand within an industry and you show that you're an expert and a thought leader, then you'll be more likely to get that return call. If you're just that expert as part of that company only, then it becomes a little more difficult. So being able to show things outside of the company, so if there's a specific area of expertise that you have and you speak at conferences or you either publish on LinkedIn or other social media, or perhaps you write articles or up, you know, white papers, things like that, that are attributed to you first as an individual, and then kind of secondarily, oh, you happen to have either written that or spoke about that topic when you were part of, you know, X company. So this way it's sort of putting you first as an expert who has a specialty in a specific area. But I think key for that too is being able to say something unique, that if you just try to position yourself as an expert outside of your company, so to speak, but you're saying the same thing that everybody else is saying, then you're not really making yourself unique. You're certainly not a thought leader if you're just saying the same thing. But if you have a unique and original thoughts and perspective, then you are showing that you really know what you're talking about. So it doesn't matter about the brand that you're associated with at that time. You have, you know, significant expertise that are backing up what you're saying, so people know what you're talking about.
I have a couple of follow-on questions, though. Oftentimes, if you're working certainly for a large corporation, the communications department limits how much you're able to speak, how much, you know, certainly as a podcaster, I've sometimes approached people who have interesting roles or doing interesting work, and I've said, I would love to talk to you about what you're doing, and they've been enthused. They go to talk to their comms department to get sign off, and they are denied the opportunity to do that. So if I'm at a company, how do I do that? And also, speaking engagements aren't just sort of hanging on trees. And a certain number of conferences, it's pay to play. You know, if you're a sponsor, you get to speak. And if you're not, you don't. So what are the opportunities, really? How thick on the ground are they to build that exposure for yourself outside of your own company? I mean, how that sounds pretty challenging, actually. I mean,
it is challenging for some, obviously not for others. I think my feeling is you push it as far as you can take it, where you try. So when those speaking opportunities, you try for them. And if, you know, if you're denied, okay, fine, then let's try another media channel. So can you write original content? What can you post? Or if you're precluded from writing articles or, you know, blogs in other places, but what about on LinkedIn? Can you become an active poster and sharing, whether it's original thoughts, sharing other pieces, but where you're always showing your own insight? That a company's not going to prevent you from if you're showing your expertise. You know, that's sort of, there's a fine line there. I think also, though, media mentions. You know, again, PR is a tough thing, because especially if the PR department in a company is limiting you, but if, you know, if you are quoted in the media, that's something that can be helpful if you're not limited, and writing for other places. And whether it's a blog post, writing, you know, guest writing an article for a media outlet, those are things obviously that do take effort, but I think everything is worth trying and seeing how far, you know, seeing what you can do. Because a PR department may say, this is okay, but this is not okay. But also asking for some guidance on that, and say, finding out what specifically, what's okay and what's not okay. And why, and finding out why. I mean, if you are a leader of a company and you're told that these are some of the things you should not be doing, you should ask why and know why.
Right, right. When we think about LinkedIn, it's pretty crowded. So how does one break through the noise? I mean, you know, do we need another article on leadership or interviewing? So how do you cut through the noise?
So, and there's a lot of noise out there. Agreed.
Very noisy.
Very noisy. So a few things on that. So, you know, there may be a topic like some of the ones that you mentioned, but where you can have a unique take on it, something different. Doesn't, you know, a lot of times people think when they're posting or sharing something that has to be long and involved and have multiple points. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it can just be one thing, a unique take that you have on something based on your experience or something that you've seen recently, you know, out there in the marketplace. So being different, my feeling is if you're just going to say, like you said, if there's a lot of noise, you're just going to say what someone else said, then why? What's the point of that? But if there's something a little different you could say, also it's how you say it. How professional do you come across? It honestly blows my mind how many people, leaders, post things with mistakes, typos, errant spaces, extra. Look, I mean, no, none of us are perfect, but really, if you are, you're representing, again, here, you're representing your personal brand and your company's brand. So if you don't take the time to write something really well and mistake-free, I don't understand why. So I think, so believe it or not, that is a differentiator. I think also response time and engagement. If you are posting something and people respond to it or engage, you need to engage back. You're not just posting something just to, you know, as a one and done there either. I also think, you know, the self-promotion stuff is a big part of it, that you can inform people of what you're doing and, or, you know, your opinion, and if your opinions or insights show something about what you're doing, great. But if you start to get kind of overtly self-promotional, that's a turnoff, and that's gonna, and that's what's a lot, that's also where a lot of the noise is, in my opinion. And lastly, actually, one other thing too is, you know, staying focused and on point. If you're all over the place, so, you know, you're kind of flip-flopping on issues, or one time you say this and another time you're saying the polar opposite, that's also not gonna help you break through the noise. I think being really focused will.
Do you think that these principles, the things we talk about to do with branding, to do with thought leadership, can be applied to any profession or field, or are there differences from field to field?
I think generally speaking, they really can be applied across the board. There may be, you know, there's some areas where there is extra noise, things like people who are experts, I think, on social media or digital marketing. You just, there's just every other, you, that's all you see. Or right now, everything you see is, you know, blockchain, cryptocurrency, you know, and from every aspect. but
nobody can explain it.
Exactly. Right. I always say that. Do you know how many people have said, okay, I have the best video to show you that will explain it to anybody, even someone in kindergarten. And you look at it and you think, yeah, this is just, it's still not the same. So I'm still looking for something that really explains it well.
Well, I have a podcast interview.
Hey, I'll give it a whirl.
Anyway. But, hey, there you go.
Right? But I think, yeah. You know, I really think it can be across the board. There's some places where there's just extra noise. So you have to look at, to me, if you really want to stand out and there's a lot of noise somewhere, what is all the noise covering? And make sure you stay away from it. Because then it's just, you're just going to get lost. And I think, you know, if someone can, you know, if someone recommends you, refers to you, engages with what you're saying, that's going to start help propel the conversation and help you stand out a little bit. But again, I do think for the most part, it's relevant across professions and fields.
Interesting. One thing I also want to touch on, which is, I think, really important and really relevant these days, is ageism, that people are, you know, 50. So their career is not over, but it's very hard if you're, you know, you've achieved a certain level at a company and due to consolidation, you find yourself on the street or the risk, as you say, everybody's got to be ready to be on this street to deal with ageism. And I think it happens to everybody, but especially women. So what are things that people can be doing to help protect themselves? Is simply branding oneself and thought leadership enough? Or what are some other things that people can do so that if they are experienced, that experience can be appreciated rather than a downside?
I think, like you said, to protect yourself, having a current brand is important. So making sure that the picture that you're putting out there about yourself, the image, the messaging is current, that it's not stale, that it's not, especially, you know, looking at your particular industry or even functional area, that it's not, you're not positioning yourself based on like what was hot and trendy and important 5 years ago, that you're positioning yourself well for today. and you're not talking about yourself in the context of, oh, I've been with this company for 25 years or 20 years. And, you know, it's more positioning you first as I'm an expert in, I'm a, you know, an executive who does, you know, who you are first versus talking about how long you've been somewhere and showing that your expertise is current. And I think having that, when going back to what we started talking about initially, was your network, keeping current with your network is important. Also being current in what's happening around. So going to a conference or a seminar from time to time where everything is about the current issues. So you're out there face-to-face current, your, you know, online reputation and message that you're putting out there is current. So people think about you that way, not as the person who has been doing X for so long. You know, at the end of the day, you are an expert. You've been working for a long time, but you know what you're talking about. And a company is going to, they always have needs for someone who really knows what they're talking about. Maybe some don't, and maybe it's not the right environment for you. But at the end of the day, they really, people hire for expertise. You can't, if you've seen an area or an industry for a lot of years, you have insight that someone 5 years out or 10 years out doesn't. And that may be really, really important to an organization, especially one that maybe has been around for a long time and does need to transform and change. I feel like that's one of the, probably in the last, I would say the last, really this year, since, you know, the beginning of the year, being able to show that you have experience in transformation and change management and being able to adapt and evolve with an organization and help it evolve, or take an organization that has evolved and they were a hot mess and you've been able to kind of fix that. That's been the hottest thing that we've seen. Sorry to go off a little bit, but you know, and that kind of experience very often comes with, I don't want to say age, but, you know, comes from experience that you can't just very often. I'm not saying that people who are early in their career can't be involved in transformation and change, but you're a lot more effective when you know, when you've seen things from different perspectives already.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you. So when you're, obviously you're teaming with a lot of people, are you also, do you participate in recruiting? I would think that you have the pulse of everybody who's a leader. So are you also placing people in jobs, or is that a separate?
We don't place people directly. We have relationships with people in executive search and recruiting, but that's not really our area, because then you could just, that's a whole rabbit hole. But what we certainly do is, if we know people in our network who can be beneficial for a client to meet, we'll always make that introduction. And even not for clients, just people we know, because, you know, that's how most people get opportunities and land opportunities, is through their network, whether it's a job, a board search, new clients, you know, that's the most effective way. So anytime we can facilitate that, we certainly do.
Fantastic. Well, we have unbelievably ran through our time. It's amazing. I think everything you have to say, I know, it goes so fast. And what you have to say is so important and so useful, especially in the world of marketing and entertainment, which tends to be the majority of the audience that listens to the podcast. So how can people reach you and find out more about you and your services?
So they can reach out to our company through our website, which is pointroadgroup.com. And we can, or you can call us as well. We still, actually, we're old school enough. We still have a phone number, believe it or not, which is, you know, a lot of businesses don't, but we're 212-869-1000 is our main number. But you can find that on our website, and we're happy to talk. You could also reach out to us on LinkedIn. You could reach out to me personally on LinkedIn. Oh, and one little LinkedIn morsel to leave with everybody. If you really want to differentiate out there, send a personalized connection request.
That really makes a difference.
It really does, because you'll stand out, because the majority of people don't. So when you do, you stand out in a really good way.
That's good. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I really enjoyed it, Gabriella.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.